Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel. We are energizing transporter beam. Now.
Welcome, everybody, to Star Trek From the Holodeck. I'm your captain. I'm the captain of the USS Rain Man Digital, Michael Flores. Hello, Ensign David.
Hello, Captain.
All right. All right. So we've got a show that you and I, Dave, have been planning and talking about for a few months now, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
We were inspired by the recent first season of Picard.
That's one way of saying it, inspired.
Yeah, we were definitely. Even, I want to say halfway through the season, we're like, we got to get into this Dr. Soong stuff.
No, that is very true, especially since essentially the core story of Picard deals with Data's journey to being understanding humanity.
Right. So this will be our first in a series of discussions that will take us into the Soong family, Data's family. We're going to go through every single episode that is relevant to the Soongs.
Yes.
The Picard series opened some interesting doorways for discussions pertaining to Data and his creator slash father, Dr. Noonien Soong, and the rest of the Soongs.
Yeah.
And we plan to go through all of those Soong-eccentric episodes. But Dave, for the purposes of this episode's discussion today, here on From the Holodeck, we are going to focus on Dr. Noonien Soong and his first appearance in Star Trek The Next Generation, the episode titled Brothers from Season 4, Episode 3. And this episode, Commander Data aborts an emergency mission and hijacks the Enterprise in a response to a homing command from his father. If we learned anything from this episode, Dave, you don't fuck with Data.
No.
Like, Data just commandeered the entire vessel in 5 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's how strong Data is.
He can, if he was bad, he could pretty much do anything. What do you think about it?
That's the amazing thing and the contrast between him and his brother Lore. That was one of the coolest things about their relationship as characters.
Yeah.
Data was the more reserved. He had a moral compass. Lore had the same exact powers of Data. He equaled them in every way. He had no moral compass.
Well, isn't that amazing too, when you think about it, especially after watching this episode, the fact that Dr. Soong had not been able to give Data the ability for emotions, right?
Yes.
And yet on his own, he was able to discern right from wrong and even have a bit of a moral compass. And when you're void of emotions and feelings, I mean, isn't empathy a feeling? Isn't empathy a form of emotions? The ability to understand other people's perspective and feelings? So if he's able to do that on his own, that says something about Data. And it's the reason why he has always been one of my absolute favorite characters, because he is unique in the sense that he became who he is. This legacy, right, of Dr. Soong.
Yes.
All on his own. He, in a lot of ways, is an allegory for Christendom's view of creation when you look at it. Okay. For example, God created man in his own image, right?
Yes.
Dr. Soong created Data in his own image.
Yeah.
You have God who made us and then kind of left us. Like, all right, you're going to have to figure it out.
Peace out.
That's what Data did.
Yeah.
It's just, it's an awesome character study. If we had the time to just delve into all the character relevant episodes pertaining to Data, we'd probably spend the next 7 years breaking down episodes.
Especially when you throw in the parallel that we can use with his brother Lore.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like,
Lore is just one of the greatest literary devices ever to be introduced into Star Trek.
The cool thing about Lore is, while we all know that Lore's a villain, he's a bad guy.
No, David, he's just misunderstood. I love Lore.
But here's the thing. You kind of, a part of us understands Lore.
Because he is, I was joking, but he is a little misunderstood.
He's a little misunderstood because he understands what right and wrong is. He just decides that basically he only cares for himself.
Yeah.
And as a human, we may not want to accept this, but a part of us are kind of like Lore.
Well, how many times in history, in textbooks, do we see examples of the jealous brother? I mean, biblical parables. What's this called? Am I retarded right now? Yeah.
I'm trying to think too. Parables. I'm going to say parables.
Did you just have a seizure over there? you have tons of parables. I'm not an idiot. I know my words, David. Don't ever second guess me again. you have these parables, especially in the Bible, where you have these simple stories that show you the jealousy between siblings. Especially, I mean, the one that comes to mind, the most obvious, is Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
One's jealous of the brother and what he has, even though he feels like, he's the best. He suffers from insecurity. He feels like God favors the younger brother better. He lashes out. Isn't that what we just saw?
Yeah.
In this episode here, titled Brothers. So there is so much going on, Dave, that the writers, threw everything but the kitchen sink into the story in the way of inspiration.
Yeah. Well, this episode is one of my top five favorites because while it looks like a very simple story, there's so many things going on, and it's brilliantly acted by Brent Spiner, who's playing three roles in this.
That dude does not get enough credit. There was an article that was going around the other day about, the typecasting of Brent Spiner. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Typecasting of Brent Spiner, that dude is great.
He is fantastic. And in this one, you really do see it. Like, he outshines.
He turns it off. I mean, he turns it on and off.
He turns it on and off. And like the interactions they have, one of my favorite moments is when Data and Lore are looking at each other and then Lore gives him the wink.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, he's able to turn it on and turn it off. But at the same time, not only do you have this interaction between the brothers, which was awesome, but then you have the interaction with Lore, Data, and their father, Soong.
Right.
And Brent Spiner's able to act Soong completely different.
It's basically, 85% of the episode is just Brent Spiner.
It's just Brent Spiner. And it's really well done. And while the story and the production looks so simple, there's so much going on here because between three characters, and it's the one episode where when you first meet Lore, we meet him in the episode prior to this, you automatically know that he's a villain. But at this one moment, it's one of the episodes that made me really think and think about put me in Lore's position, right? And you start actually sympathizing with Lore in this episode because he's the begotten son.
Yes.
And like, when Sung gives shows why they call Data in, and Lore's obviously very upset about this, because like, so Data's the privileged son in his opinion. And it's like so awesome seeing the drama between these three characters played by one man. And one of the things that I pulled from that, it's so easy to like put myself in that, like, especially with me and my brother and my father. And it's the one episode where as a fan, I started as hating Lore as a villain, but then I started liking Lore because I started trying to understand him more.
Well, that's the thing about good villains, Dave, is they got to be relatable. Obviously, if you have a psychopathic rapist, nobody wants to do that. But in a story like this with tons of substance, you're going to make your villain that much more interesting if you give him some complexity, you know, make him complex. Don't make him so, you know, black and white. Create some sympathy, because, yeah, there are moments where you could totally understand his point of view. I mean, he was heartbroken, sad that his father just left him, you know, disassembled, and he was going to leave without causing any damage. And then when he found out his father was dying, that's what kind of prevented him from, well, not kind of, it did prevent him from leaving. But And we'll get into all the ins and outs. This isn't necessarily a discussion on Lore, but you can't talk about an episode with Lore in it without covering Lore,
especially since it ties into Data.
Right. Now, this isn't a review. Let's just set the table here. It's just a discussion. But I will say that this episode is exceptional, Dave. You had said it was on your top five. It's not too far away from that for me as well. I couldn't number it right now. It'd probably be impossible, but it's pretty damn close. The parallel story or story B isn't that great. The story with the other two brothers, and I get what they were trying to do, having those parallels there, and it worked for the episode, but it wasn't really needed. It was there to help Data at the end to understand the importance of forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, love your brother. But I don't feel like we needed that parallel story for Data to learn that lesson or to convey that idea, because Dr. Sung had said it.
No, that's a good point. I mean, like that whole dispute between the two brothers prior was used to kind of like, you know, tie the knot on the story. Right. Let's tie everything up.
It was the icing.
It was the icing on the cake. And yeah, I agree with you. It probably wasn't that needed, but I think that scene in the very end was there for the audience, not for...
You mean the people who don't understand things? They're like, I don't understand the purpose of this episode. Oh, wait, let me spell it out for you at the end.
I hate to say it, because like sometimes with where Star Trek excels is it kind of dumbs down the philosophy and says, hey, this is what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
this is what we're trying to say.
To me, that's the only reason why this episode's probably not on my top 10 was because I feel like there is so many great things in this episode, but then there's moments like that where they kind of spell it out for you, you know, forgive your brother. I'm like, oh, and then fade out. I'm like, ooh. To me, that was a little on the nose.
It's a little on the nose, but the way I saw the ending too, just for me added, was kind of like, this is where we start separating Data from Lore. Like Lore thinks about himself. He's built his own quote unquote moral compass at this point, and basically, you know, but Data on the other hand, supposed to be the opposite. He's supposed to have that pristine moral compass where he sides with good more than evil. And throwing that they're brothers forgive.
I just don't think it was needed. But
I don't think it was needed either.
I don't think it tarnishes the episode. It just, for me, you know, if I were to review this episode, again, we're not reviewing it, but if I were to review this episode, that would definitely be a moment that I kind of,
I think it was too, it was a little heavy handed.
Yeah.
It was a little heavy handed.
Yeah. But as I said, not a review. The Sung stuff, though, the stuff pertaining to Data and his family, that's the good stuff. a fantastic amount of character development, ingredients that would forever, truly forever, shape Data's characterization and would hold him together as a character throughout the next several decades of Star Trek.
And it starts with one of the most iconic Star Trek scenes that fans replay again and again and again.
Yeah.
And it, that whole scene where he talks to Data and it starts
who
off
talks to Data?
Or Soong talks to Data, and Data starts it off by asking a question.
Right.
And why did you create me? And all of a sudden it just started going up in like sheer performance by Brett Spiner. Like Soong telling him, why does a painter paint? Why does a boxer box? It's so awesome, dude. It still sticks to me to this day. It's one of those, it's a memorable scene. And if you look at this, if you look at it on YouTube, I went to try to find this scene by itself on YouTube. So many people have it just cut out in their own pages, but they have so many views because like Star Trek fans love that scene.
Well, it's one of the, probably one of the greatest moments in TNG.
It's arguably people have said it is the start of Data's journey, understanding humanity.
It's, I don't know if it's the start. I feel like the introduction of lore, I feel like is really a starting point
for him.
Yeah. But this episode was definitely part of that chapter, the beginning of something great here. I mean, his realization that he's not flawed, that he's not a flawed, unfinished, imperfect creation.
Yeah.
That he's just as perfect as lore.
Yeah.
And this episode did several things really well, besides what you had mentioned. And we're going to get into that a little bit more in a second here. The use of classic literature as a way to govern the narrative of the episode, using those classic archetypal elements from where else, Dave? Shakespeare. I mean, the works of Shakespeare are notorious themes. One such theme is the idea of family or a trusted friend's betrayal, which leads to their downfall. Many times this downfall could have been prevented if the character was not blinded by their trust of that person. In this episode, we see Dr. Soong assume the role of the betrayed. A bit from his arrogance. He has a bit of a superiority complex, and we'll talk about that in a second here. But he was betrayed by his oldest son, who essentially murdered him and stole his brother's rightful inheritance or birthright. Lore, of course, falling into the role of the jealous son or brother, the sibling rivalries that we see a lot in Shakespeare's plays.
Yep.
Data being the loyal, naive son, the loyal brother, and loyal son. Each of these characters are copies of classic Shakespearean plays. If you were to remove the sci-fi elements from the script and replace it with, I guess you could say, more grounded ideas, and you have yourself a contemporary Shakespearean-esque type play, Dave.
Yes.
I mean, these are roles that are just ripped from the pages of the Shakespearean tragedies. And to drive home that point, you had Dr. Soong even mention the idea of trust to Data. Unfortunately, Soong was wrong, and he trusted the older son, which we see so many times. This is the folly of the betrayed. They don't see it. It's in plain sight, but they don't see it.
Yeah.
I loved it. It felt, I mean, I would love to go back and just cut out all the useless other brother stories and just watch a straight episode with no interruptions of just lore, Data, and Soong.
Yes.
It'd probably be about 35, 36 minutes, but you have yourself a little mini Shakespearean play.
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic.
And like, the thing I really enjoyed about it was you don't look at Soong like he's a fool. Because when Lord betrays him,
he's not this a fool.
He's not a fool. He's a father who basically, he even comes out and states that he still loves Lore. he still loves his begotten son.
Well, you don't hate your son when they betray you. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, it's really, I mean, you have parents who, how many parents say, let's say parents of killers, you know, serial killers or murderers, and they are interviewed for whatever documentary, and how many times will they say, I still love my son?
Yeah.
You know, so unfortunately, you know, parents love their kids, or they should, at least if you're a good parent, you should love your kids no matter what. But the point is that no, you're right, Dave. He's not a fool, but
he's not a fool.
He was blinded, by his loyalty
to his son.
Yeah. And despite the more obvious, all of this was used as a way to push Data's story forward. And by fleshing out his parentage, by dissecting the Soong element, you begin to see an interesting philosophical statement about life, death, and legacy. And this is the main focus of our conversation today. These are the moments that I feel relate closely to the events of Picard season one. The reason why I was inspired to kind of just break down the Soong legacy because of certain moments that were scattered throughout Picard. So the elements that related to Picard, or so how I see it, and only Shiva, Dave, and the gods will know if the showrunner of Picard had reviewed these episodes prior to writing. It'll forever be a mystery. But the philosophical statement is made through a series of questions, as you had mentioned.
Yeah.
Questions posed by Soong to Data after Data asks why he created him. To answer, he asks, why do humans like old things? Okay. Yeah. Data answers, perhaps because to know the past gives humans a sense of continuity and potentially a sense of purpose. But that continuity also moves forward, says Soong. Humans are mortal, so they procreate as a way to leave behind a legacy. It gives humans a sense of immortality. These are the key points here. Through these various questions, David, we come to the realization that Soong created Data because he wanted a son that would continue his legacy to give him a sense of immortality because he was near death.
Yes.
Just like you had mentioned, why do painters paint? Well, they paint to leave something behind.
Yes.
A legacy. To be remembered, to make a statement about whatever they're trying to convey. So now that we understand that, what does this say about the events in Picard? Now, there are some pros and cons here.
Okay. Okay.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. In Picard, we have the Golem, a device that was created so that Soong's biological son can essentially achieve immortality.
Immortality.
This fits with the Soong way, right? Do we want to say yes?
Well, yes.
Okay, because if the showrunner Picard had gone back, reviewed the episode, and said, okay, so Soong wants some form of immortality. So then let's give his son the same drive. Let's have him create the Golem. Because in Picard, his son, Soong's biological son,
yes,
had wanted to achieve something that he said his father had not.
Yeah.
Which is immortality.
It goes with every generation. Every single generation of Soong had that one drive for them.
I agree and disagree. I feel like the biological son lost the point. It wasn't about pushing forward a selfish idea of living forever. Like, I want to live forever. There was a sense of responsibility to push the human race forward, to leave behind something important. If you look at Eric Soong, who got involved with the Augments in Enterprise, and we're going to do an entire episode run on them as well. He wasn't a bad person.
No.
If you remember, he also fell victim to a very Shakespearean type of tragedy. He was too blinded by love and compassion. He was not a selfish person. Was he arrogant? Yes, most geniuses are.
Yes.
So that's fine. It's not a beautiful human trait to have, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person. He was arrogant, but he did have compassion and love for these augments. And the purpose of believing in these augments was because he felt like through them, they can achieve a better society. They life. Can better and more enlightenment,
yes.
if you will. That this is the perfect version of the human race. You have Dr. Soong. Noonien Soong now with Data. It didn't come off in that whole entire discourse between the two. Was there any moments that felt like it was selfish reasons?
No.
It felt like true love. I want to leave something behind through my son. It was more of a birthright and a legacy more than any type of selfish intent. Whereas with Soong's biological son in Picard, there wasn't any rhyme or reason behind him wanting to achieve immortality other than the fact that he wanted to live. So does it work? Sure. But I feel like you're missing the substance behind his
yes.
motive. The character motivation isn't quite there.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it makes sense because especially when you take a look at how when Soong finds out that Data chose Starfleet, right? He's not too happy about it, like any parent.
Yeah, because he wanted him to follow in his footsteps.
And he wanted to follow in the I believe it was cybernetics.
Yeah,
he wanted to follow in the footsteps of cybernetics, but Data replied to him about wanting to repay the people who discovered him
right.
as a dedication of service.
Mm-hmm.
And Soong, during that scene, is more like you look at him and it's like an actual parent looking at their child going, well, I really wanted you to follow in my footsteps.
But I understand. Right, yeah.
So, yeah, there's something about the character in Picard, who's his son, there's a difference in, I don't know, motivation, just like what you said. It just doesn't seem right.
Right. But there's also some blinding continuity issues, and that could be just from my perspective. So I need you to pipe in if you disagree, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so sure, it wasn't stated that Soong never had a son.
Yes.
A biological son.
Yes.
But it was implied within the subtext.
It was.
It was really heavy. The purpose of creating synthetic life was because it was implied that he had no other legacy. In this episode, Soong activates the homing beacon within Data because he's dying.
Yes.
Where's his son? Why wouldn't he call his son to him? So that's why I think a lot of people got really upset with Picard when it comes to that aspect, because sure, you can bend continuity and say, well, we never saw him. He never talked about him. And there you have that throwaway line where his son says in Picard, he alluded to the fact that a day didn't go by that his father didn't mention his precious, Data. Now, so sure, you can make it work and you can even make him a bit jealous of the love that he didn't get that he bestowed on his creations. But that also says something about Soong, and it kind of destroys his characterization, because
yes.
if he loved his creations over his own son, that kind of takes away from the obvious sincerity that he had. Like, you get the idea in this episode that he's a good person.
Yeah. I mean, especially the fact that he takes in lore, that shows that Soong really looks at his creations like they're his sons.
Right.
You know, it's not just a cybernetic or android that he created, a thing
yeah.
he created. This is his kin,
yes.
you know, and I'll be honest. I was one of the ones who was really against actually that introducing that character in Picard.
Yeah.
Because it does taint the legacy of Noonan Soong, where he is a major figure in Data's history.
Well, it just kind of makes him look like a shitheel a bit because he loved these creations so much, but
More than his own blood?
Didn't even pay attention to his own blood. Yeah, it creates some character discrepancies. And I said, yes, sure. Or like I said a few moments ago, sure, you can bend it and say, yeah, I can justify that he didn't. But by justifying that he did have a son, you then kind of create issues with a character that was being conveyed a certain way.
Yes.
And I mean, upon watching and reflection, I will say this, though, about the showrunner of Picard. You can look at Data's death or him wanting to die to be consistent with some of what was said in this episode. For example, humans die. Humans are mortal and they live on through their legacy.
Yes.
Their procreation. And as we saw, there's an entire planet of his children. So you can say that is consistent with Dr. Soong leaving behind his children, willing to die, not trying to prevent his death, but making sure he has a legacy that lives on, that he leaves something behind. Dr. Soong says, everyone dies. It is all right for you to die, Data says, because I will live. And now look at Soong's overall legacy. It even could work with Eric Soong and how he loved the Augment children.
Yes.
They will live on. I want to create something, a new race of beings, a new society that will be better than who we are as people. And isn't that what most parents want for their children? They want their children to be better versions
of themselves.
Of themselves. So all of that does tie back to, I'm talking about Picard. All of that does work and tie back to Dr. Noonien Soong and Eric Soong. But there is one slight disconnect. The fact that we never quite got the idea that Data was involved with his creations.
Yes.
It was more like, hey, Data died in a bunch of Romulan rubble.
Yes.
And we're going to go and Frankenstein his positronic mind and start making copies of him.
And that's not his choice.
It's not his choice. He didn't do it. So I feel like the idea would have worked better if Data had been responsible and had some hand to play in the creation of this offspring, essentially, right?
Yeah. And that's the one problem I have with what they were trying to do in Picard is like, okay, I can understand that. Data's legacy is these
things don't quite connect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the things don't quite connect because, like, you have moments where they say, oh, Data, this is all his brother's creation, or Data worked alongside him. Well, we didn't see that. And you kind of established that how can the brothers work together when Data sacrificed himself? When we saw him die on Nemesis. So,
yeah.
And there's like that disconnect. The dots do not connect right.
No, because I feel like the showrunner for Picard, Michael Chabon, I feel like he had a general understanding of things, but it didn't feel like he truly understood what was being stated within these episodes. Because if I was the showrunner of Picard or any Star Trek series that was going to delve heavily into Data's legacy and the Soong dynasty, I would go back and watch those episodes very thoroughly and try to understand what really made those characters tick, the decisions, try to understand what the writers were doing at that time with their characterization and with those character arcs.
Understand the themes.
Understand the themes, David, and the subtext. Those are the things you need to understand, because then if you understand what's actually being said, the unsaid, the subtext, then you could almost do anything.
Yeah.
The action that plays out on screen doesn't matter as long as you understand the heart of what's been said in previous iterations of Trek pertaining to Data and Soong. If you understand that, you can have Data dance around as long as everything else, you know, in the episode feels sincere to the original subtext. That we get it subconsciously. We're like, yes, this all works. But my biggest problem with Picard was that it didn't really quite feel like Shaban understood Data as a character, understood Star Trek. Sure, there's highly emotional moments because we love those characters. A lot of those emotions that were created because of nostalgia, not because of what was actually being done in the episode. So when you look back at an episode like this, it just makes you scratch your head and you wonder if Shaban and the writers of Picard really ever reviewed Next Generation or even watched it.
Or understood at least what they were writing for.
Well, there's three different things that we can assume here, or three different options, I should say. I feel Shaban just didn't understand what was being said, or he didn't care. These are the three possibilities, okay? Number one, he didn't watch The Next Generation. Number two, he did watch them, but didn't interpret the episode correctly. Or three, he knew about all of this, watched the episode, interpreted them the right way, understood the episodes, and said, fuck it, I'm going to do this anyways.
And unfortunately, through a lot of what he's been talking about in interviews, it sounds like number three.
Really? You really think a guy would have those type of balls to be like, I get what they did, but fuck it.
When you come out and you say, my goal for this series was to piss off the fans.
Is that what he really said?
That's what I've heard
other people say that, and I've seen headlines.
Yeah. And at least in context, you're making fans angry. Maybe it's been over-exaggerated. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But if you actually say something on that line that you want to anger your fans, then that tells me that you understand it. You just don't care. All you care about is telling what you want, not what everybody else wants, what you want, which in hindsight is what we kind of got in Picard.
Yeah. I mean,
if you think about it.
And this is part one of our Soong discussion.
Yeah.
And the reason why we're doing these, it's not to be a bitch. It's not to complain about Picard. It's simply a way to convince me. I, Dave, as a Star Trek fan, I want to be convinced that I might have been wrong with my original thoughts and feelings with how Picard concluded. So in order to do that, what do in the court of law? You weigh the evidence.
Weigh the evidence.
Yes, I have decades of Star Trek trapped in my mind, but not all of it is front and center. A long time and a lot of Star Trek to recall and remember, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why I put together these discussions, because I want to weigh the evidence. I want to go back and really research the Soong family and see if I can understand what Shaban was trying to do, because there is a disconnect between Data and the reasons he would do things, and at least as of right now, that may change by the end of episode, I don't know, however many episodes this will end up being, this discussion, let's say six episodes. At the end of those six or so episodes, I want to be able to say without a shadow of a doubt that either A, it works. Yeah, it works. Yeah, it's great. Or continue with my original line of thought. It's not that great. And it feels like, you know, you were trying to break continuity for some reason, because there's really no reason to have a biological son of Dr. Soong. There's really no reason. What did he do that one of the offspring, you know, one of the Sojis could have done.
Yeah.
The only reason why, the only reason is sheer fan service to have Brent Spiner without the makeup, without being Data. Hey, Brent Spiner's around and he doesn't have to wear the Data makeup. He doesn't have to be just in flashbacks.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only reason, because if you remove him from the story, what do you lose? You can easily replace him with anyone, and it would have been that much better. That was one of my biggest problems with the ending of Picard. I'm like, oh, I'm like, and don't get me wrong, nostalgia was on an all-time high. It was an overload of emotion. I got pretty fucking happy.
Oh, yeah.
But then my mind went to, well, this doesn't really add up, especially when you look at how wonderful these Soong episodes. And my mind immediately, when I saw that episode, was Soong's biological son. My mind immediately went to this episode.
Uh-huh.
That's, and I haven't watched this episode in probably
what I did.
Probably 12 years. I haven't watched this episode, but because it's such a powerful episode, I was able to recall what it was about. And then when I sat down to rewatch for the purpose of this discussion, I was blown away again. Now that I have, you know, 12 years later, I have a greater understanding of the writing process and what's being done. Again, within the subtext and what's really being said and the understanding of Shakespearean tragedy, you just start to unravel fucking greatness.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I know a lot of people, there is some people who are fans of Picard and stuff like that, and more power to them.
Oh, look at you.
Here's the thing with the one thing that they constantly bring up, well, the important part is Data's story, right?
Right.
It's Data's journey.
I would agree with that.
We don't, nothing else matters.
But Data's journey includes his parentage, because they said it themselves. The purpose of human life and the reason why we cling to the past and want to leave a legacy is because of continuity.
Continuity.
Having a sense of continuity that grounds us, and that continuity runs backwards and forwards. So that one line should have been your theme for anything you do with Data and Picard. And because they didn't even remember that or care, that's why you kind of lose sight.
That's the problem with that. You bringing feel like- in the lost son of Soong is you're rewriting a character's history, so to speak, with Noonan Soong, but that's not okay, because Noonan Soong's legacy ties so closely to Data that, just like what you said, that ending, that was epic, and it was nice. I agree, it was a nice ending. It was a nice farewell to that character. But when you take a look at it, and then you take a look at, did we really need it? What did it do for his story? And you begin to realize it took it backwards instead of forwards. Then you realize that basically that end is just a bunch of nostalgia fluff.
Yeah. And just to reiterate things we've said on other episodes, Dave, I feel like it's important, because I know we get new listeners coming in all the time. I'm not one of those Star Trek fans that's against change. I love Star Trek Discovery. I felt like they came close at times breaking continuity.
Yes.
And I know people could say, well, aesthetically, they destroyed continuity when it comes to the Klingons and various other things. But those types of changes I can get behind. It's the writing disruptions. It's the breaking of canon in terms of writing, because those are the things that govern the show for the better part of 50 years. Those are the things we can't ignore, the things that make these characters great, because then there is a disconnect in story. When it comes to the aesthetics, I get it. Like, we can't have the look of TNG and the classic series in new shows. It just wouldn't fly with audiences. Like, wait, why am I watching something that looks like it's from the 1960s?
Yeah.
You just can't do that.
But the important thing is narrative continuity. Narrative continuity brings the universe together. And once you actually start breaking that, even if you're just meant to bend it, it's very dicey because even the slightest bend can break continuity. And it could be as simple as introducing a character that just does not fit into another character's continuity or overall themes. That's where Dr. Sung fits in, in Picard.
Yeah. And we got a lot to get through. Our next episode, we're going to talk about, and we're not always going to veer into Picard talk, but this is going to be a Picard discussion. I guess we could call it that because we are covering Sung because of Picard, and then we're going to contrast them. Or compare them, I should say, and then form a discussion around that. That's the entire point. You can look at these discussions, I guess, as a companion piece to our Picard discussions.
Well, it's really good to actually cover Sung's legacy because, like, as I said, it ties so closely to Data, and that's whose story we had in Picard. It wasn't about Picard. More or less, it was about Data's legacy. The main character, Soji, she wasn't tied to Picard. She was tied to Data. The whole android planet, that was because of Data. And then it leads to one of the best emotional moments in the Picard series with Data having that final talk with Picard and saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all of Data's legacy just comes wrapped up. It wraps up in a nice little bow. You have to cover its beginnings, and it starts with his father, Noonan Soon.
Yeah. So the next episode we're going to get into is a Deep Space Nine episode titled Birthright Part One, and it's where Data has a vision of his father. I'm not quite sure how much substance will be there, so we may combo it up with another episode as well. And the following episode that we'll get into will be... David, are you ready for this one? Because I'm not. I lost my episode. Hold on a second. I had it written down and it got erased. The third episode will be Inheritance.
Yes.
And that's a big one.
That's a big one.
And we're probably going to spend some time on that one. That one's where Data meets
his supposed mother.
His mother, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is going to be one of those episodes where we spend some time talking probably a lot about Picard when we start comparing, because this one's directly related to the Soong family.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how all of this goes. I'm looking forward to it because, first off, anytime I have a chance to sit down and watch, have an excuse to rewatch, and I feel like I'm being productive at the same time, that's a win for me.
Oh, absolutely. Especially like when you're touching on iconic moments like this, and Brothers is on a lot of lists of TNG.
Yeah.
It's up there. It's up there at least around top six, top eight episodes of all time. And Inheritance... A lot of people say Inheritance is another one of the best episodes, but it's also very underrated.
Yeah. And then after those episodes, we're going to go back chronologically in terms of Star Trek canon. We're going to go back to the Enterprise episodes. Should be fun. Well, dude, those episodes were great. I believe
started getting good.
I agree. The fourth season is when they started finding their feet. And the fourth season, episode six, is when they started. And the episode that kicked that three-episode story arc was titled The Augments. And then the next one's Borderland and then Cold Station 12. So we're going to get into all of those. That's going to be a really fun episode because anytime we can see Brent Spiner reprise that role, man, dude, he's such a good actor.
He is.
So that'll be a treat to go back and rewatch. And there's a lot to break down in terms of the characterization of the Soong family, because there's a lot of similarities with Eric Soong and Noonien Soong. Inigo Soong, not so much.
Inigo Soong, not so much, not yet.
In fact, I wouldn't mind someone taking a Romulan disruptor, just taking him out. go ahead and take out an ego soon.
Let's go ahead. You, Q needs to show up. Just go, this isn't right. Like, ding.
Yeah. Who are you?
Who are you?
All right. So this does bring us to the end of our discussion. I want to thank everyone for listening. Also, don't forget, we do a plethora of additional Star Trek discussions exclusively for our Patreon subscribers. So if you go to patreon.com/Rainman Digital and you pledge $5 or more a month, you'll gain access to literally thousands of hours of additional Star Trek discussions. So we do a lot. We do a lot of shows. So help us out. It keeps us on the air. It's a way that we can continue to put out these high quality shows. A lot goes into the planning of our discussions in terms of note taking and research, so that we can put on a interesting and insightful show. So please consider pledging $5. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Live long and prosper.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.